listeners, this is Taylor McClure for CIDI 99.1 FM, and you're listening to Township's Daily News Bits. I am here with Nikki Moore, the Network Partnership Initiative Agent for the Townshippers Association, who's going to be speaking to us about their upcoming demonstration this weekend in Countsville. So Nikki, can you please tell us a little bit about this demonstration this weekend and what will be taking place exactly and who will be there?
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here and to speak about this very important topic. The Townshippers Association worked with Massivania High School to provide the opportunity to educate the students and staff about Bill 96. And we had a lot of interest in the topic. In fact, over 300 students and staff signed a very large petition that is going to be delivered to Isabel Charest's office on Saturday, May 14th. And what we are attempting to do is highlight the concerns that we have with so many aspects of Bill 96. So the students had the opportunity to sign letters to, and we will send those to their local MNAs. 98 letters have been signed for Bromasiskwa and 31 letters have been signed for Otyamaska for a total of 129 letters that will be sent with concerns about Bill 96.
And I wanted to ask you as well, is there a specific number of signatures that Townshippers is hoping to garner for this petition?
I believe what I've heard is we'll easily get 500 signatures by the time we need to deliver this. And in fact, you're welcome to join us at Massivania High School at the arena parking lot at 10 a.m. on March 14th, so this Saturday, to add your signature to the petition. It would only take a few minutes. You don't have to stay long. You'd sign, get some information about Bill 96, and you could also sign a letter that we can send on your behalf to your local MNA as well, if you want to get involved.
Okay. And what is the intention with this demonstration? Like, what type of message is Townshippers trying to get out there to the local community?
Well, particularly, I'll speak to the concerns of the students who signed the petition and the staff as well at Massivania. The main concern is that the English language would be criminalized. So Quebec language officials will have more power than our judicial system because Bill 96 overrides the Quebec and Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So once you've been fined for speaking English to someone who does not have proof that they're a historical Anglophone, you have no legal recourse and you just have to pay up. So just to give you a little context, you know, we need justification for a warrant if someone is murdered. And then you need a warrant to seize confidential documents, electronic devices, personal cell phones, if someone's murdered, right? Which is a process that protects our freedom. But anyone, any anonymous call from anyone at all will give the language officials the right to seize your personal cell phone, confidential medical files, anything they want without a warrant. They can enter your place of work, your home, your hotel room, your car, and they can take your devices, again, without a warrant. All they need is one anonymous complaint that if someone suspects you might be communicating in English in the future, it doesn't even have to have happened already, then, you know, the powers that the language officials have are just enormous. And also these confidential reportings will be encouraged. So an increased surveillance and a decrease in privacy. And, you know, we're talking about a $700 to $90,000 fine if you're guilty of speaking English or communicating in English. And, you know, we had interest from our French-speaking students from Val-des-Serres who came over to get some information and sign the document because it infringes on their right to choose to go to an English CEGEP, which is the first opportunity these students have to learn a second language. And it's a very difficult decision that they make because it is hard to learn in another language other than your maternal language, but this right to be taken away from them really concerns them as well. So we had some signatures from our Val des Serres students as well.
Okay, wow. I was not aware of all the implications there. That's pretty shocking. In regards to the bill that you're referring to Bill 96, you've already highlighted some of its details, but can you pinpoint other details as well, maybe related to the health and social services and more in the education aspect, and how this will impact the population, the English population, but as well as the French population in Quebec too?
Right. Yes, it does affect everyone for sure. I mean, I worked at the CLSC for years as a social worker, and I had amazing French-speaking colleagues who did their best to master the English language so that they could serve their English families and help them. It wasn't easy for them because, again, they didn't have access to learning English. Now what's going to happen is there's going to be such a problem because essentially if you're speaking to a service user in English, what you're going to have to do is make sure they have the proper documentation to prove they're historical Anglophone. If they do not have these documents, which are a great majority of English-speaking Quebecers will not have those documents, including our seniors and most vulnerable population.
Are these historical documents like ancestry documents, basically? Yeah, like how far your English roots go back here in the province?
Well, exactly. So in other words, I can send my child to an English-speaking school. So she goes to Knowlton Academy, one of my daughters, and that's because I have the paperwork to prove that I'm a historical Anglophone. But, you know, I don't think my mom has that paperwork. You know, she's in her 70s, and she can't get that paperwork because her parents are deceased. So we're leaving our most vulnerable population without proof that they can access these services. And even then, how do you prove it? Will it be paperwork? You know, do we have to carry these papers around? Will it be a waterproof bracelet, some sort of tattoo? Now I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but how do we prove this status that people are allowed to speak to us in English? Because, as I said, my colleagues who would be, fighting to be able to increase their knowledge of English to better serve the English-speaking community, now they have to look over their shoulder and worry that there might be a complaint made anonymously and that, you know, the Office de Langue de Français could come in, seize confidential medical files. So that's including, you know, psychological files, social work files. This is highly confidential information. Nobody should have access to this. These are locked away for a good reason. Now, this would go against their code of ethics. So I'm really, really curious as to what the Professional Order of Social Workers and psychologists and, you know, medical health professionals as well, what these orders will have to say about this, because our code of ethics is that we serve our community, that we prioritize their health and safety, not the language that they speak, and also that we prioritize their confidentiality. So there's two elements that the professional orders will have a very big problem with.
There's another major concern here for English speakers in Quebec is the cap on access to education. Could you comment on that as well, and what it implies within Bill 96?
Right. So our CEGEPs at the moment will be frozen at the numbers that they are at right now. So there will be no growth in terms of providing more spots available to our youth who want to access these programs. What that will do is also hurt the ability, and that is why the Val des Serres French-speaking students came to sign the petition, because the priority of those spots will go to English-speaking Anglophones with that historical documentation, and it will not go to them. So I have colleagues who are French-speaking who are about to send their adolescent to away to CEGEP, which is a very exciting but nerve-wracking transition in life. And now she's worried about this as well. So that's just an additional worry for all Quebecers to have on their plates, which after the pandemic, I don't think we need more on our plate to deal with.
No, exactly. I wasn't sure if there were any other details in the bill itself that you would like to pinpoint that you think people should be aware of?
It touches on so many aspects of our lives. It really, I promise you that every single Quebecer will be negatively affected by this bill. And that's including the businesses who are barely hanging on. They're going to have to go and do a ton of paperwork to prove that they need to hire someone with, a bilingual ability, because that the barriers that they'll have, and they'll have to, basically they'll be buried in paperwork. They don't have the time, the money, and the resources for this. So we're going to lose those businesses that are just hanging on by a thread from the pandemic. We're going to also, I'm concerned because there's a labor shortage. And right now, if I'm an employer with my own company, if I hire someone who can speak English, what that's going to do is put the fear in me that that person might communicate in English. And then an anonymous tip might be made. And then my devices might be seized, including my personal cell phone, as well as my employee. And then that employee could be fined, and so could I. And as I said, the fines are very hefty, and there's no way around them. Because again, of the notwithstanding clause, it supersedes the Quebec and Canadian Charter of Rights. So what you're going to have is a fine up, anywhere from $700 to $90,000. So this is what our businesses will have to face now.
Wow. As,
yeah. We're just going to lose our economy just.
And our people.
And our people. Yeah.
Is this demonstration this weekend, is this one of the many steps that townshippers, which, is here to support the English speakers in Quebec, is this one of the first steps that townshippers is taking to stand up for the rights of English speakers here?
We have to continue. Yes, absolutely. This is the beginning. Unfortunately, it looks like this bill will pass, but we can still fight this. An election is coming up, and we need to mobilize our community because the healthcare system is hanging on by a thread. And this kind of thing it's already very difficult to get services. So this kind of thing will just, put such a huge barrier in place. And it's not every Quebecer who's English speaking who can move out of the province, right? Moving costs a lot. So our most vulnerable are going to have to face, preoperative, postoperative instruction, all in French. Our people struggling with mental health are going to have to, try to communicate these very complex issues in French. It's our most vulnerable people who have already been under attack by the pandemic are now going to be facing this other huge barrier to health and social services. And that really concerns me as a social worker with 19 years of experience in the system. And I had the pleasure of working in Ottawa at the Children's Aid Society, where our language minority, which were the French-speaking Ontarians, were served very well by our French-speaking department. And I got to see what it was like to provide healthcare services to a linguistic minority. And it was amazing. It was inspiring. And I thought, we are so far from that in Quebec. But I thought, we should at least start asking for it. And we need to step up. We tend to allow these things to happen without doing anything about it. I know we're tired. I'm tired. But as I said, come to Massé-Vanier, the arena parking lot, 10 a.m. In Countsville. It'll take 5 minutes to sign your name so that you can contribute to your own health and your own access to social services and to the most vulnerable Quebecers, and just help this province thrive, because there are so many other more creative, wonderful ways to protect our French language. We can all agree that's a priority. But I don't think it should supersede our right for privacy and our right to access healthcare.
And I wasn't sure if there was anything else, Nikki, that you would like to add that you think would be important for the community to know.
I really just appreciate your time here today, and I appreciate being here to talk about this very important topic. And I really do hope our community does what they can. I wanted to share as well, please go get more information. This kind of thing just snuck up on us, and we need to be informed minimum. Once you're informed, I promise you, you will do something about this. So if you visit the QCGN, the Quebec Community Groups Network website, you can find a ton of info there. Also look for them on YouTube. That was how I got a lot of my information. Many people have spent countless hours looking into Bill 96 and the implications on this province. And we really need to be more aware. You can also check out the task force website. Go to protectourrights.ca. And that's the task force that, again, people volunteering their time to look at the implications of Bill 96 and what that will cause to our beautiful province.
Well, thank you so much, Nikki. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you for having me.
Townshippers Association is a partner of CIDI. Townships Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.